understanding of things in Connecticut. I'm kind of fascinated by how the sausage gets made. And a guy who knows way more than I do on this is Keith Faniff. You can read his stuff at ctmirror.org. And the most recent piece I wanted to discuss is, could the Connecticut budget face emergency cuts despite plan to save $1.2 billion? And Keith joins us now. I'm Brian and Company. Keith, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, I almost don't know where to start. I mean, I mean, does this relate to, because last year there was these, whether it's education or other spots, that they were in desperate straits. Then all of a sudden we found some ARPA money and everything was fine, except they weren't one-time things. So all of a sudden in the next budget, we're already having to spend that, you know, if we're going to keep those programs. But what you're talking about isn't even that, is it?
The best analogy I can give you, Brian, is think for a minute about your household budget. Don't have to use any specific numbers. Just think about your budget and think about how much money you save. Now imagine you didn't make all of your mortgage payment or all of your rent payment. You only made part of your car payment. You only paid part of your electric bill. You'd get into trouble, but boy, you could start, at least for the short term, saving a heck of a lot more money. It'd just be pointless to do it because the bank is going to want its mortgage payment, your landlord's going to want their rent payment, and so on. Connecticut made an arbitrary decision in 2017 to save money without really actually doing the math and thinking through what can we save and what can't we. And you might say, well, then why are we just hearing about it now? The reason we're hearing about it now is because we kind of rolled from 2017 a couple of years later into the pandemic, and the federal government started showering us with billions of dollars of temporary money that we could use to shore up any hole in the budget. So sticking with my bat analogy, you won a heck of a lot of lottery scratch tickets, and for a while, your household budget that didn't really make sense worked. Because when you didn't make your car payment, you scratched off a lottery ticket, and there was enough to cover a year's car payment. Well, the ARPA money's gone. Connecticut is going to have to revisit its savings methods because it didn't plan well with the budget. It ran out of what I'll call little cheat factors. And all of a sudden, the amount of money that we've got set aside that we're saying it's okay to spend, we've still got a surplus, but it's down to about $71 million, which is 1/3 of 1%. But off to the side, and what we've vowed to save is $1.2 billion, which, you can do the quick math, is a lot bigger than $71 million.
So, and okay, we're talking with Keith Faniff.
That's the short version of it.
Right. Well, I mean, it is complicated. So I think, and again, you will correct me when I'm wrong, but is this a way to say, unless they change the fiscal guardrails from 2017, you can't balance the budget without dipping into the rainy day fund?
This is simply saying that's the math. What the way the guardrails work is this money that we're going to save is supposed to go into the rainy day fund, and when that is full, go in to pay down pension debt. But the rules still say if you end the fiscal year with an operating deficit, you have to pay your bills. So you might as well budget for what you have to pay. Otherwise, you're just doing it backwards. It's just a way of pretending you're going to save more than you actually are. The fear
so,
is
but you are you are advocate. You're saying that if you wanted to do it the way that makes sense, you would have to tweak the guardrails.
Because
we all know. I mean, listen. There's two ways to look at it. Because you're right in the sense that they set these up arbitrarily. There's no way to know what the revenue was going to be in this.
There's a way. I got to jump in, Brian. There is a way. The problem is when they set them up, they were under the gun time-wise, and they didn't stop and do a lot of the math. You can build your own household budget, and you know when it's – you might have to adjust it a little, but you can tell when it's close, or you could tell if you made one that was way off. They rushed. Now there's the political fear of, oh, if we start adjusting, it'll fall apart. So we've kind of been using my term, white-knuckle fiscal sobriety. No, we're not going to adjust it. We're not going to adjust it until the math breaks down. We're getting dangerously close to the math breaking down.
The fear is among people who really – Lamont obviously loves the way it's been done because he's been stewarding, you know, a Connecticut state economy that's paid down billions in pension obligations and has a rainy day fund that's full. And in a lot of ways, that's the envy of a lot of states in the nation, especially in the Northeast. But he's going to be really hesitant to do anything to it. And the Republicans think it's just going to be an incrementalism and eventually it's going to blow up the whole concept. I mean, how worried, assuming that you're right and something needs to be done, but how worried should we be that, eventually that will lead to, you know, more people trying to get their hands on this?
It's going to come down to how well they've changed the culture. But no amount of resisting is going to allow Connecticut not to pay its bills. Don't forget, since 2021, the American Rescue Plan Act, commonly known as ARPA, okay, those are emergency federal pandemic grants, have given us $3 billion, which we've largely used to cover all the ways that our savings budget has broken down. We are out of ARPA. It's not like our savings budget has been working. You just, it's like having a very bad dentist who keeps sticking you, but you don't feel it because you got world-class Novocaine. The world-class Novocaine is gone.
Yeah, it's well, there's so many things to it, like the accusations of blue state bailouts. Kind of when you look at the numbers, you can see the justification for that criticism. But, you know, in 08, we housing debt became government debt, and then student debt has become government debt. And I mean, it's just moving around these shells. And so I want to go past, we don't have a lot of time, but past the theoretical, like, what do you, because I think this budget battle is going to be really intense. I mean, what do you think is going to happen in this next session?
I think that everybody will have to break some. Because, again, the math will work. The governor's got to renegotiate with all of the unions, which means there are going to be raises for state employees. When you run up big raises, big surpluses, you have to pay an arbitration. Nobody, either party, is going to want to cut municipal aid to their towns. The question will be simply how much they tweak them, and that will be the fight. But it's being framed this election season as, do we leave them alone or do we repeal them? No one has proposed repealing them. It's just a question of, do you modestly adjust them or do you have a spending frenzy?
So that's basically the question. It's you either have to cut the budget or you have to tweak the guardrails.
Right. But the days of saying, well, we don't have to touch them, they're rapidly coming to an end.
Yeah. Listen, I encourage everybody to go to ctmayor.org and read the whole piece. It's tough to break it all down into these conversations, and I appreciate you humoring you sort of my ignorance here. It's really confusing.
No, it's complex stuff.
Yeah. Keith, great stuff. We always love having you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Keith Faniff from CT Mayor. Again, go to ctmayor.com.